Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're in a series. We're actually closing the series today called In the Gap. We're looking at grace and peace, G-A-P, the gap. And today we're going to be summing up what this word shalom means in a not as familiar place when you look at the Hebrew word shalom. We'll unpack it a little bit. But if you have a Bible, go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Can we stand to our feet in reverence for the reading of God's word? Let me be your all-service pastor today and just serve you, but just in reverence for God's word. Just follow me either on your Bible, your actual Bible, for those of you who are more holy. And if you're less holy, turn off Angry Birds and go onto your digital device. Or if you just can't be bothered, just look on the screen. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. Thank you, Lord. Through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3. Lord, again, we just want to thank you for authoring this word for us, that your destiny will not be a mystery to us, God, but that we actually have a plan mapped out for us in your scriptures to honor you. And so, God, we pray that we would hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats today. The title of my message today is Closing the Gap. Closing the Gap. Now, forgive me for indulging in starting my message this way, but this last week was a big week for a particular sport, if you want to call it that, professional wrestling. All right? There's about three of you here who cheered for that, which is okay. We know who to pray for then. But for those of you who may not know, there's a big year event that happens every year called WrestleMania. And so it was the 34th WrestleMania earlier this week. I was into wrestling when it was WrestleMania 1, 2, and 3, and 4. That's how old I am. So, yeah, I basically woke up, you know, when I was born, I started watching wrestling. But no, I was really into wrestling. So it was a big week for wrestling in that respect. There was a couple of other things that happened throughout this week with regards to wrestling. There was a big movie about the life of Andre the Giant on HBO, but probably the biggest thing that happened in wrestling wasn't actually anything to do with wrestling. It just involved a former wrestler, my favorite wrestler because he's Samoan, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who released his movie Rampage about him and an actual creature that's bigger than him, a massive gorilla type thing. So it's amazing that he's the biggest movie star right now, grossing the most money. So he's actually starring in two major movies this summer in the United States, Our Winter. The other movie, apart from this movie Rampage, is this movie Skyscraper. Have any of you seen? This is the poster for the movie Skyscraper. Now, for those of you who have any background in science, you're probably looking at that and seeing that he's not going to make it. Dwayne Johnson's not going to make it. He's not going to close the gap. So as I was looking at this, it's funny, you know, you go to Twitter, you go to social media, here's what one scientist said. He actually mapped out the trajectory of Dwayne Johnson. If he actually jumped from this crane into that gaping hole there, James Smythe on Twitter says, I've mocked up some parabolas for The Rock's skyscraper jump. Red is assuming that he jumped up a bit first. Green assuming that he ran forward and somehow didn't lose momentum. And yellow for a sort of squat thrust thing. Whichever you choose, rest in peace, The Rock. You are, as you are dead now. There was another guy who actually talked about how he, in order for him to go to the end of the crane to get enough speed, he actually had to be about 0.5 seconds faster per 100 meters than Usain Bolt. If you haven't noticed, us Samoans, we have a tendency to that's all I'm going to say, is just we got a lot to carry across that gap. And lastly, you know, I found this interesting. I thought long and hard about this, applying everything I know about science to bring you the definitive answer. If he catches the leg of the K of the word skyscraper, then he can use the momentum and the velocity in which he is traveling to alley-oop for the basketball players into the window. He might be able to grab the ledge. How many of you know this is an impossible gap to bridge? Now, much like our lives, the impossibility of the gap that is to be bridged between us and our God is pure, righteous, and holy. We are impure, unholy, and unrighteous. But when we receive the shalom, the peace of God, when we're talking about the grace of peace, firstly, we receive it by His grace because we don't deserve it. Grace means undeserved favor. But He bridges the gap for us, so there is a restoration that happens between us and God. So despite what the rock may be experiencing, we have someone who fills the gap for us spiritually. But one aspect I wanted to talk about today is shalom with regards to the restoration of relationships. Restoration of our relationships. Now, when we look at the two most important commandments in all of Scripture that God gives us, He gives us these two commandments. How many of you remember them? To love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is the part of the message where we get really real. How many of you, just give me an eyebrow, kind of, find it easier to love God than to love your neighbor as you love yourself? I see that eyebrows everywhere. Real talk. But how many of you know they're not actually two separate commandments? They're actually one and the same. The Bible actually goes on to say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, that, beloved, let us love one another. He's talking to the church, John. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is part of God and knows God. He or she who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So it's impossible to say, I love God, and not love people. They're one in the same. So when Jesus steps into the scene, we've got to understand that He is the initiator of all of this love, right? So when we read again in Galatians chapter 3, so in Christ Jesus, how many of you are in Christ Jesus today? If you are in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. All children, every single one of us, no matter what your ethnicity is, no, doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter which side of town you live in, male or female, God calls you His child through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, some of y'all may be looking at this and going, oh, clothed with Christ. Does it mean I swap my Kmart for a Zara? You know, does that mean I'm actually getting new clothes? No. What clothed means, remember, we're in a Hebrew context here. When you are wearing a cloak, and we mentioned this with regards to Bartimaeus about 3 weeks ago, when you are wearing a cloak, it is representation. It is a representation of your status. When Bartimaeus, you remember this? When Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness, he left his cloak and followed Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was clothing him now. That cloak was what he would lay out to gather all the finances that would come his way. So it was his source of provision. It was kind of like his welfare car that he would be able to, he was endorsed because he was wearing that cloak. He was endorsed to be able to beg. But now he was leaving that in order to follow Jesus because he was clothed with Christ. Are you with me? When you follow Christ, it's not that you are clothed actually with a new jacket. You are clothed in Him with a new identity. Now, here's the thing. Then it goes on to speak about this. I need you to understand this and catch this. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So He addresses race. How many of you know there is no racism in heaven? There is no segregation in heaven. There is not a Filipino section of heaven and a Samoan section of heaven and a Greek section of heaven and a section of heaven. There's no section of heaven for any ethnicity. There's no section of heaven for rich or poor. So God eliminates class. God eliminates race. Now, I want to be careful how I say this when I say eliminates gender because some of you all might say, oh, that's blended. No. We are secure as males and females in who we are. Genesis 1 says this, right? He has created them male and female. But there is a sense of our roles and responsibilities and our stature being the same. It's just how it manifests and how God's created us that is different. Are you with me? Much like if you were to talk about having our customs, I'm a Samoan, born in New Zealand, and I have particular customs that go with me being a Samoan. And then if I was to hang out with somebody who was Italian and they have their own customs, we're not trying to say, demean your customs and come follow him. No, that custom that you bring, actually, if submitted under the lordship of Jesus Christ, creates a beautiful picture of who God has made the church to be. So it's not an abandoning of your culture, but submitting it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Now, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Now, what's this about Abraham popping up? And heirs according to the promise. Now, for those of you who weren't here 3 weeks ago, we talked about this whole thing of covenant. God is a God of covenant who makes a covenant with the father of our faith in accordance with Romans 4, who is Abraham. And the sort of covenant that he makes, he initiates. And what he says to Abraham is that you will be blessed. Those who bless you will be blessed. Everywhere you go, you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. He's got your back. God's got your back. Not only that, he says, you know, you'll have as many descendants as stars in the sky. You will be a blessed man in all that you do. Did it have anything to do with Abraham's obedience? Did it have anything to do with Abraham's stature? It had, spoiler alert, it didn't. It had nothing to do with who Abraham was. It was that God had chosen him. And God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, the father of many nations. And so when we read this verse, if you belong to Christ, again, how many of us belong to Christ here? Awesome. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to that promise. So anything you read in Genesis, from Genesis 12 onwards, that he promises Abram, he promises also us as his seed. That should get somebody a little bit excited about it. But I urge you to go and read your Bible, read Genesis 12 and read onwards from there. The covenant that God makes and initiates with Abraham had nothing to do with who Abraham was. It's just that God chose Abraham. And it has nothing to do with who you are, but God chooses you. That's not a Backstreet Boys lyric. Doesn't care who you are, where you're from, what you did. That's not Backstreet Boys. That's the Bible. There's no caveat, as long as you love me. No, even if you don't love him, he can choose you. It's on him to choose. Now, we've got to understand this, that covenant is initiated, is started by Christ. He is the one who starts it all. Because the moment we think that we can start it ourselves, there's this thing called skepticism that happens. You know, the look of skepticism kind of looks like this. What's your real agenda? When Christ is at the center, when Jesus is at the center of this reconciliation that happens between us and God and between us and one another, it's amazing how that gap is bridged. There is no skepticism. But here is mankind. We want to find another way around. We want to try and fill that void or bridge that gap ourselves. So we make all sorts of effort to try and bridge the gap ourselves. But you, if you are in Christ, you've got to understand that has all been paid for by him. That has all been bridged by him. You don't have to do anything else but to just sit there and receive Christ, receive his sacrifice, receive what he has done for us. How many of you are in Christ? All right. Just making sure. Now we're getting through this quite quickly, which is good. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. We're going to read this to the end of the chapter. Now I want you to see this process of what God brings us through by his grace. From now on, everybody say, from now on. From now on. Therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. What is he on about? What is he talking about here? How many of you know that when Christ is not at the center of your relationships, there is that look, that skeptical look, right? It's kind of like, okay, what is your agenda? And trying to approach me, trying to meet me. But when Christ is in the picture, you drop your guard because you're trusting not in the person, but you're trusting in Christ, who's at the center of that relationship. And even if they fail, your faith is still in Christ anyway, because he's in the center of it. Now, I'm gonna draw a better picture of this for you in just a moment. But you got to see everything through the lens of Christ. I've been wearing glasses since I was 10. And I'm a bit worried. My daughter's 10, Nazareth, and she was telling me, Dad, I can't see the whiteboard at school. I was like, oh, welcome to nerddom. It's cool now. It wasn't cool when you were 10, especially when your glasses looked like aquariums. But when you put glasses on, you see everything through the lens of what's in front of your eyes. You magnify that which is in front of you, you know, through the lens of that which is in front of your eyes. I want to ask you today, what is the lens of which you see everything through? If there is still an air of skepticism, still an air of distrust that you operate with that causes you to kind of, and I'm not calling you to be naive, okay? I'm not calling you to go, man, I just trust God. Here's my wallet. Take everything. You know, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, do you love everybody, or are you hesitated to love one another as Christ loved the church because you see through a lens of skepticism rather than seeing through the lens of Christ? Again, who's in Christ? Okay, making sure. If anyone is in Christ, the next verse, he or she is a new creation. I like new creation. The original, if you look at it in the Greek, it says new creature.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like when it alludes to being a new creation or new creature, it's the difference between it being the same vessel, but going from the state of chrysalis, being a caterpillar, turning into a butterfly. It is not recognizable, the difference in its life from what it was to where it is. Can people see that there is a difference in your life? Or was Christ merely a good idea? Is Christ merely an option? Or is Christ at the center of your life? Because people can see a difference. There is no skepticism. There is no kind of like, I'll trust Christ, but I've got my agenda as to how I trust Christ. Or I trust you, but if you, you know, I'm going to trust you with a limit and so forth. No, like if we see Christ at the center of these relationships, we are new creatures. There's a difference. There's a marked difference in our life now from what it used to be. Can people see that difference? The old has what? Passed away. It's dead. The old is completely dead. Many of you, I mean, a lot of you in this room have heard me use this analogy, but it bears repeating again. Repentance is turning away from sin and turning towards God. So if I'm facing sin and I choose to follow God, it's a 180-degree turn. I'm no longer looking at sin anymore. I am fully faced towards the destiny and purpose of God. I see through the lens of Christ. It's not a 90-degree turn where if this goes wrong, I'm going, hey, what's up? It's not a 360-degree turn where it's kind of like on the weekends, you know? Sunday is when I get this way. Monday, it's just irritating, man. Tuesday, I just can't stand it, even though KFC's cheaper. Movies, too. So Wednesday, it's hump day because I just can't stand it. I just got to have my vices. Thursday, I just hang out here. Friday, and then Saturday morning, oh, hangover. I got to go to church. I am sorry. And we have the nerve to think because there's this revolving happening. I'm moving. I'm moving in God. Yeah, you're moving, but your position staying still. Don't let the movement fool you. You're not growing in Christ. And it's amazing how we have people who have been in Christ for 30 years, but there's no change. There's no maturity in their faith. They don't have faith to even overcome offenses. Like when you get offended, do you have the faith to overcome and say, no, I choose today to see this relationship through the lens of Christ? Now, don't get me wrong. Some of us may hear this message and go, yeah, I wish X, Y, Z heard this message. That's the temptation, right? No, get on your knees and pray and see that relationship through the lens of Christ. So we talked about from now on, there's a change. There's a change of which we see. And because there's a from now on, there's an aspect of us turning into a new creature, a new creation. The old has completely gone. It's unrecognizable who we used to be. I'm new. See me, hear me, love me, I'm new. You know, turn to three people around you, just encourage them. Look at me, I'm new. Come on, be proud of your newness. Thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all ain't turning around, ain't got the faith to turn around. Y'all better turn around. Check it out, I'm new. The old is gone, baby. The physical may not be gone, but the spiritual. is new. Now, I want you to catch this, okay? From now on, we follow God. And as we follow God, if we're in Christ, we're a new creature, a new creation. The next verse says, all this is from God. Who's it from? From God. So he is the initiator of us being a new creature. It's amazing how even today in Christianity, we try to become new creatures, new creations by absorbing ourselves in Christian activity, thinking that that's what's going to transform us. That's what's going to change us. No, it's by the grace of God that we change. But all this is from God who what? Through Christ reconciles us to himself and gives us the ministry of reconciliation. What? I like the new creature part, but why do I have to do the ministry part, you know? That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. It's not about you solo, but it's about the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. All of this that I'm showing you is a process, but it happens instantaneously. When you make a decision to follow Christ, from now on, you become a new creature. The old is gone, new has come. You are called to the ministry of reconciliation. There is no, okay, I'm a new creature, a new creation, but, you know, let me do about 10 years of training, and then I'll do a degree. I'll have more degrees than a thermometer, and then eventually I'll get into the ministry of reconciliation. No, the moment you are transformed in your life and in your heart by Christ, by receiving Christ, he will give you a love for those who are broken. He will give you a love for those who are hard to love because it's his heart now. There is a heart transplant that happens. My heart is no longer my own. My heart belongs to Christ. And then Christ's heart starts beating in my chest. And again, a lot of you have heard me say this. It sounds like this. Other people. Lost people. Broken people. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, just give me the old heart. No, no, you're a new creature now. The old is gone. It used to be myself, my one, my job, my future wife. Help me, Lord. Okay, okay. Other people. Oh, no, no. That heart beats that way on purpose. I love the presence of God. How many of you love the presence of God? I love to worship God. I know that. I experience Christ's shalom the most when I am in a position of worship, when I still my heart, still my life, and remove all distractions and just get before God. But the closer I get to him, the more I start to realize, man, God really loves these broken people, eh? And then I hear a whisper of the Holy Spirit, and he says, that's right, because you are one of them. That's right. It's amazing how we forget the most repeated theme in the book of Deuteronomy is this one word, remember. Deuteronomy literally means the second giving of the law. Why? Because they forgot the first in Exodus and Leviticus. So they're in the desert. I couldn't get the desert mentality out of them. And so God, by his grace, gives them Deuteronomy. He says, remember. It's amazing how Christians catch spiritual Alzheimer's from time to time, right? We forget how good God has been. We forget that he is the lifter of our heads, lifting up our heads to the hills to see where our help comes from. Getting that perspective, seeing through the lens of Christ, but our heads get heavy and our hearts get weak and we start to see our stuff again and we move away from the presence of God. We move away from Christ being the center of our lives. And it's only in moments of brokenness and desperation that we finally turn around, repent, and turn towards God. Say, help! This is a cycle we see in all of Scripture. How humans have a tendency to forget how good God is. He is good all the time. It's not just something you used to say at your old Assemblies of God church. God is good! Yeah, some of y'all been there. He is actually good all the time. It's a matter of we're in a position to receive that goodness all the time. He calls us to the ministry of reconciliation. See, again, if Christ is the one doing the work in us, it doesn't take much effort on our own part to do that work. And when we are rejected from that reconciliation, we are not the ones rejected. They reject the Christ that's in us. All he's simply saying as a ministry of reconciliation is making sure we're right with God and with one another, and then helping to bring peace towards relationships that you see are broken around you. Now, that can be relationships with others, and that can be others' relationships with God. It may be non-existent, and that's why the ministry of reconciliation can be evangelism, but it can also be the bringing together of relationships that are broken. I want to draw this to a close with an analogy, but I wanted to finally kind of finish the scripture. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay, so we move from now on to becoming a new creature, a new creation. Now a ministry, now entering a ministry of reconciliation, now an ambassador of Christ. Let's go back to the scripture. God making his appeal through us. It's not us making our own appeal. It's God making his appeal through us. An ambassador is a representative of high esteem. When we talk about an ambassador of a country, you are the highest representative of that country in another country for that nation. You are someone of high esteem. So when you are Christ's ambassador, greater than any nation on this planet, you must understand that you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and God makes his appeal through all of us who put our hands up and say, we are Christ. We don't just represent Christ with what we're not for. We represent Christ for what we are for, and we are for the ministry of reconciliation. Going back to what I was talking about earlier, there is neither slave nor free. So there's a reconciliation of classes, people from different parts of the city who have different economic backgrounds that they're from. God reconciles all of us together. God reconciles the nations and the ethnicities together. I'm blessed to see that within this room, just with the small number of us in this room, we're from so many different nations. That's God's doing. That's what God does. And if you don't like that, you're not going to like heaven very much. There is no male and female section of heaven. We get to worship God with one another. If you have a problem, if you have an issue with that, see it through the lens of Christ. Now, let me get really real here. My heart is to see reconciliation in this nation, especially when it comes to what has happened in the history of this nation towards those who are the First Nation people of this great nation of Australia and the rest of us who have the blessing of calling this nation home. Now, we recognize the custodians of this land as a church. And there is a reconciliation that will happen, but it's going to happen through Christ. It's not going to happen on our own agenda, coming up with an idea ourselves. It's going to happen as the church stands up and says, we are ambassadors of Christ. We will represent him well. And we have a responsibility for all of us who call this nation home to bless the people of this land. It's a responsibility that we have, because we're blessed as we bless those who are in this land. So from now on, we are a new creature. I'm a new creature from now on. I'm a minister of reconciliation from now on. I'm an ambassador. And then he ends by saying this, for our sake, Paul says, he made him who to be sin who knew no sin. Speaking of Christ. So Christ took upon himself all of our sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, meaning that we are now in right standing with him. We have all that. Some of us were like, well, you know what, Pastor Nelly, you know, I like the new creature stuff. But this ministry of reconciliation, I'm not qualified. He says, that's right, you're not qualified. But I make you qualified. I took on all your sin. So you are now the righteousness of God, i.e. you are qualified now. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I'm going to need some help here with this particular analogy. So I haven't asked these people to come and help me in a bit. But I'm going to ask Benson, and if I can get Dave Lim, can you come on up here? Which one of them do you think should be Jesus in this analogy? We'll let Benson be Jesus because you have glasses. Jesus doesn't have glasses. He has perfect vision. Unfortunately, we are Alvin. So you come and stand at you're the center of it all. Benson at the center. Okay, let's say, you know, Dave and I are walking in right relationship with one another, right? But David gets offended at something that I did, and I did it. And So look offended and turn away, right? And here's the thing about this did not happen in real life, all right? David is my brother whom I love very much. And so Dave is turning away from me. But the longer he stays in this position, it's amazing how he starts moving away. Go ahead. It starts moving away from the relationship I have with him. Now I'm here. The Bible says in Matthew 5 that it is impossible for you to worship God, right? Unless you bring, you rectify that relationship. It says, leave your altar at the, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and rectify the relationship, then come and offer your sacrifice. So in order for this, see, if I know I'm wrong, but Dave can't hear that and he doesn't want to see me or that sort of stuff happens, he may be close to me, but Jesus is not close to me. And because Jesus is the center of my relationship, I need to trust the Holy Spirit at that point. I don't come up with a scheme. Okay, here we go. The five of us, let's make a plan and, you know, get them in the room. And we'll meet up at, what's the restaurant we like? Roti Place. And we'll go meet up at Roti Place. And then you guys, as soon as you see me walk in the door, you run away and then it'll be just me and Dave. And then we'll try and rectify. How many of you know that you can do things your way or you can do things Christ's way? And this is what I should be doing. Like, I can make every effort to reconcile through Christ. But ultimately, I need to learn the power of prayer in that reconciliation. And so I'm praying, Jesus, I need your help to come. Yeah, so we go together now. See? And because if I was standing over here, he sees me for who I am without the lens of Christ. But because if Christ is the one that touches him and causes him to turn around, he sees me through the lens of not Benson, but Jesus, and sees that there's rectification that can happen at that place. But because I go now with the presence of God in prayer and in pursuit, waiting for the right time of the Lord, and then if he is open to Christ, really open to Christ, then he will be open. And it's the same way. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? For all of us, you can go ahead and take a seat. Give them a hand. There's a term in hip-hop we call the b-boy stance. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with rappity rap music, breakdancing, right? Back in the day and still to this day, there is a thing called a cypher. And so what a cypher is, and some of you might remember this at the socials you used to attend, you may not have known it's called dances you used to attend, you may not have known it's called a cypher, but it's when you have a round circle of people standing around the circle, and then somebody comes in and does their moves, and then go back, and then another one comes out and does their moves. Now, when you're doing breakdancing, there's a thing called a b-boy stance, which means you stand staunch, and it's done like this, okay? You can do this right where you're standing, I mean, where you're sitting. You pop your arms out, kind of like this. That's what it looks like. And that means, oh, man, I'm getting ready to school you, but I'm guarding everything that I have, so you don't see me. You don't see me yet. How many of you have heard the saying, right? Oh, you can keep quiet and let everybody think that you're silly, or you can open up your mouth and leave no doubt in their minds, right? It's the same thing with the b-boy stance, right? A lot of us will stand in the b-boy stance, and then the dance is over, and we're still standing in the b-boy stance because we've made no attempt to come out and rectify the situation by showing how deadly my moves are, you know? Or you can make a move. If Christ is at the center of your cipher, if Christ is at the center of your life, you need to see the people that you're supposed to reconcile with, whether in general, right? When it's with regards to ethnicity, whether it's with regards to class. You know, we need to eliminate stereotypes that we place upon ourselves or place upon other people because of our perceptions of what they are, who they are, and be afraid to approach them and therefore stand in that b-boy stance the whole time, even in church, to stand there going, well, I'm not going to let my guard down. I'll show up at church so people think I'm committed, but I'm still in my b-boy stance. God says, cut that out, man. Just let it go. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. You're called to fight for reconciliation. whether there's an ethnic barrier, whether there's a social barrier, whether there is a forgiveness barrier. God is calling you to center your life on Him, because He paid the price in order that you will be forgiven. So in the same way, you must forgive others. Let your misconceptions go of people. You will miss out on some of the greatest relationships you have if you don't learn to fight for those relationships, if you don't learn to come out of standing on the sidelines in your B-boy stance and actually getting in. Say, man, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm out here making a fool out of myself for Jesus. And if Jesus is at the center of your relationship, it's amazing how when you open yourself up, you'll learn so much. There's so much you can learn from another ethnicity. There's so much you can learn from fighting for a relationship. And every nation, Brisbane, and as your pastor, I'm committed to creating an environment where we fight for relationships. Don't succumb to the temptation that the enemy would have, and I keep repeating this, but it bears repeating, to try and isolate yourself, standing in your B-boy stance, when you know you need to fight to stay connected. And it's subtle how the enemy will have us turn away from one another and turn away from God and turn towards our own agenda. You know you don't sleep well at night when that happens. You know you're the most stressed when that happens. You know, we have the nerve to think, nobody understands what I'm going through. Can we be honest here? I don't have the option of not showing up. And you should make that decision too. I'm not saying that because I work here. I'm saying that because I'm committed to you. That even if there is an opportunity to get offended, I'll still be here. If I'm in the country, I'll still fight to get here. I'm not talking about this location. I'm not talking about this church service, but to get in front of you as your brother and as your friend. And that's the sort of way we need to operate when it comes to shalom. Some of us need to make phone calls today. Some of us need to get before people and say, you know what? I'm really sorry for what I've done. And even if they lambast you with all the stuff, but you did this. You know, you can clearly just say, you know what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, I just wanted to let you know that I'm here. I'm willing to fight for this friendship and see above the event of what may have happened, but just to show up because I want to reconnect. When you're ready, if you want that, we can do that. But like, I'm willing to reconcile. Because if anybody has the right to be offended, it was Christ. Being blameless. Completely blameless. But yet, for our sake, He made Him to be sin who had no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. If anybody had the right to call us up and say, you did this, this, and this, and I did absolutely nothing wrong, it was Jesus Christ. But He chooses to show up as the ultimate minister of reconciliation with no B-boy stance at all. No skepticism at all. He comes at us and He says, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And if you'll just trust me and receive my forgiveness, it's amazing what I'll do in you and through you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.